This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, the place to go for advanced dental technology and compassionate, patient-centred care. You can trust your smile with an expert team that puts your comfort first. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
It's 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, there are minutes before you. If you look at page 2, third to go, paragraph, we can just, there's a hanging period out there after some information, so if we can just delete that extra space, I take that as a friendly amendment to the amendments.
Where is the bill, sorry?
Fourth paragraph from the bottom, after Summer Information Center, there's a big hanging period out there. You got extra spaces.
Okay.
So we can just fix that. I think the minutes are ready for approval.
Motion to approve minutes. Second.
As amended?
As amended.
All right. Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Continuing our updates on recovery efforts in the House Straw Fire, I'd like to welcome Zach Byron with Clear Creek Conservation District to outline their efforts and kind of give us the map ahead.
Yeah.
Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Thank you for having me. I know that you've had presentations in the past just recently from Wyoming Game and Fish, but I just wanted to probably not piggyback on what you heard from them, but go forward with some new information and some of our proposed plans and project ideas. So as you guys know, we did receive a significant grant, $12.32 million from WWNRT for this house draw fire restoration. Part of those monies also were allocated to assist with a fire lane seeding project that we had already gotten going. The reason they did that is I had pulled our application from the FEMA funding opportunity because it was going way too slow and I needed the money sooner than later. So that, when WWNRT heard that that's what I had done, they added a little bit extra money to the grant that they offered us. So with that said, those funds are split into four different project proposals. $9.3 million is going to go to two different project types. One is going to be invasive annual grass treatment, so specifically cheatgrass, Jap brome, and hopefully no Ventanata, but if Ventanata starts to show up, that will certainly be part of that. So $6 million will be used to fund invasive annual grass treatments within the house draw fire boundaries. Another $3.3 million will be utilized to do invasive annual grass treatments outside of the fire boundary, but more specifically outside of the fire boundary in sage-grouse core area. The idea is to try to reduce fuel load to hopefully avoid any other significant fires in sage-grouse core area. And then, so with that project, the invasive annual grass treatments outside of the fire, late last week, I put in a large chemical or herbicide order. The reason I did that is because Enview, the company that is producing this herbicide called Imazapic or Rejuvra, They've noticed the large number of wildfires this last summer, and so they're increasing the cost of Rejuva from $1,102 a gallon to $1,140 a gallon. So they're doing that starting June 1, so I made a large purchase May 30th in order to try to get ahead of that. That is going to go to project work outside of the fire boundary. Another $2.5 million of that grant are going to go to sage-grouse nesting habitat plantings. So sagebrush, forage forbs that sage-grouse, especially chicks, like. The idea behind that is to try to, again, piggyback on the sagebrush seeding that we have already done, trying to restore sage-grouse habitat in areas that were known to be highly successful nesting areas for sage-grouse to begin with. Let me back up a little bit and give an update on the sagebrush seeding project that we did. There was a group from Sheridan Extension Research, Game and Fish, and myself, and some other NRCS was also involved. We've been doing some ocular monitoring for looking to see if there is successful germination in that project area for sagebrush seeding. And we have been seeing quite a few sagebrush that have been germinating. So that's, I guess I'm cautiously optimistic about that. We planted it in the perfect window. We've gotten good spring moisture. We'll just have to wait to see what the summer brings. But there is establishment happening, and so that's pretty exciting to see. Another part of the project, the grant money, the proposed project, is to install up to 400 structures that are called Z-dike structures. These are low-cost, low-tech, what we call mesic restoration tools. So basically what that means is it's a structure that doesn't dam water up, but holds it long enough for the soil to soak in draws. The idea behind that is to reduce soil erosion and also help to increase sage-grouse habitat in those draws. Typically, late summer, early fall, those areas that hold water are kind of a magnet for sage-grouse. And so we're, again, that not only helps build resiliency of the watershed, but also helps provide habitat for sage-grouse. Again, I know it seems like we're talking about sage-grouse a lot, but we need to remember that the fire burned just over 100,000 acres of sage-grouse core habitat, which is important to not just our area, but Wyoming, and then sage-grouse as we move forward in terms of population. So that's kind of our proposed projects in a nutshell. As I said, the sagebrush seeding so far seems like it was successful. The fire line seeding, unfortunately, it's not done yet. However, it's for good reason, and that's because we've been getting good spring moisture, and so the contractor hasn't been able to get as much done on a per-day basis as they were hoping. I spoke with them yesterday, and they hope to finish by the end of this week. So those are two projects that we've already gotten done. The biggest lift now is doing some additional planning, and then also the financial side of it. Clear Creek Conservation District is managing all of those funds, and with additional grants that we have for some small water projects, as well as some U.S. Fish and Wildlife Partners for Wildlife Habitat grants, we're currently managing just over $13 million in grants, so that's a fairly substantial lift for the two of us. But because of that, we've also kind of started to modify our office hours a little bit, because there's also a lot of field work to do along with that. So it's exciting times. It's a lot of heavy lifting to do, but Mandy and I are pretty excited to have the opportunity to have this type of money to do project work in the area. So I can go into more specifics if people want to, but that's kind of the overview. I guess I could delve in a little further into our plans for seeding within the fire boundary.
Please.
Right now, There are several groups, Sheridan Extension Research, Wyoming Game and Fish, NRCS, BLM to some extent, and then the Conservation District, as well as Pheasants Forever. We're going to be monitoring the fire throughout the summer to try to determine where the best areas to do the treatments in the fire are. There's no need to do a knee-jerk reaction and just start spraying everywhere just because we're scared of cheatgrass. We want to make sure that we're doing it in a way that makes sense and is the most efficient, and we get the biggest bang for our buck, so to speak, in terms of areas that we're working in. So throughout the summer, Sheridan Extension Research has, I believe, 20 students that won't just be focused on the fire. They have other work to do, but they're going to be part of the monitoring program. We have already contacted and visited with the majority of the landowners in the area. We've built an online dashboard, which basically means with our phones in the field, as long as we have cell phone service, we can monitor and update real time what we're seeing, where we're seeing at. That all goes into a database at the Sheridan Extension Research, and that report goes out at the end of every week, so people aren't doubling efforts in terms of monitoring the same spot over and over again. And the hope is that that makes it more efficient and we get more eyes on the ground and a better idea of where to start looking at project work for invasive annual grass treatment within the fire. For the sage grouse nesting habitat planting, I'm currently working on putting together a bid package to get that out here in the next week or so we can get some contractors hired to hopefully start work on that early fall. That would be a project that would go early fall until they can't seed because of winter conditions, and then again starting in the spring again once they can. We're hoping to do that as a phased project of 1,500 acres this fall/winter, and then another 1,500 in 2026 fall and winter. So what we're doing with that is utilizing some modeling that we've done through the last couple years to identify areas known to be used by sage grouse to nest in. Obviously that's a really important one, but then also one that pre-fire had good sagebrush habitat, had low amounts of invasive annual grasses, and then also based on NRCS's rangeland productivity model, we put together and built a model. So that's how we're starting to try to pick out areas where to do this planting at. Also, of course, the most important is landowners that want to do the work on their property, which we haven't had any issues. Most landowners, we've been lucky, most landowners have been really willing to at least entertain the ideas and at least have those discussions with us. We have plenty of acreage that we can plant. We just want to, again, make sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck. Even though $12.3 million sounds like a lot of money, which it is, when you're starting to talk about landscape scale restoration work, it's a lot of money, but at the same time, we want to make sure that we're planning in a way such that we're utilizing those funds responsibly and trying to get the best work done with what we've got. The Z-dike structures, that's something really driven mostly through Pheasants Forever. They already have contracts set up, landowners on board, and the contractor is going to start surveying those locations in, and we'll start building those structures here in the next few weeks. So not only did we get the money, we've also hit the ground running, and would be happy to, again, delve into any more specifics that you might be interested in, and also happy to revisit from time to time to continue to give updates.
Commissioners, questions on any of the many activities the Conservation District is undertaking?
It sounds like you guys have got a busy couple of years.
Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Has there been any counts so you know, like, on the sage grouse population, what do you think has decreased to?
So anecdotally, speaking with couple folks from Pheasants Forever, and then Zach Turnbull, the wildlife biologist for Wyoming Game and Fish for this region, they didn't do specific LEC counts this spring, but in flying over the fire, Zach Turnbull saw males utilizing some of the leks that were in the burn area, which is kind of to be expected because they are so so tied to one area. Some research has shown that, at least for the first year, it's not unusual to see birds return to their lek locations. And then after that, they start to figure it out that there's no hiding cover, there's no escape cover. So they either get picked off by predators, or the female birds aren't showing up either. So that's the whole reason they're there. So anecdotally, some of the leks were still being used, but in terms of population and how that's been affected, I'm not quite sure. Usually that takes about 6 months from the time that counts end to that data goes into Game and Fish, where they get it in their database system and then start putting that kind of information out. So anecdotally, the birds were still using some of the leks, but the population trends won't come out for probably another 6 months, is my guess.
No, Jeff asked a question I wanted about the sagebrush, how they were doing. So, yeah.
Zach, we've had pretty good success with the Z-Dike effort in the past. You've kind of become an expert on those. Can you kind of hit on the portions of the burn scar where those are going to be? It's southern Johnson County up here. Exactly where are you going to put those?
Yeah, structures? So that's a great question. The majority of those are going to be going on starting at about Betty Falks's, for anybody that's familiar with where Betty's at, kind of Four Corners area, north into her property. Betty has been a proponent of those pre-fire as well, so it just was seemed like a good place to start. And then she's also, of course, allowing access for monitoring, etc., on all of those. So the majority of those are going to be going on Betty's, and then hopefully through discussions with other landowners and word of mouth that we'll be able to access some other properties. But for now, that's where the focus is going to be. And part of the reason the focus is there as well is there's a number of known leks in the area, and typically sage grouse will raise their chicks within 2 miles of they'll nest and do the brood rearing within 2 miles of that lek. So that's kind of why our focus with whether it's the Z-Dike or the nesting habitat planting projects, that's why the focus. And next time we have some maps to show, we'll bring some maps, and it will look like it's very lek-centric, and that's because it is. Most sage grouse are within 2 miles of where the males lek, so that's where we are focusing most of our efforts for those kind of projects.
What does one of those look like? Just
a lek?
Yeah. No.
A Z-dike structure? Yeah. There's multiple different kinds in general. So there's one called a Zuni bowl, which kind of looks more like I take half a hot tub and cut it in half, kind of, and then you would lay rock back and forth to make different layers. They can be, as big as your table set up here, or smaller, just depends on the size of the head cut that it's trying to hold back, and also the size of the draw. So that's what a Zuni bowl looks like. The idea is for any of them that the water spills over, and rather than continuing to cause erosion and build head cuts, and which then in turn incises the draw, so there's no water available for any of the vegetation, the water falls over, that velocity is dissipated, so you're not getting any erosion, and then with the water being held back behind it long enough to soak into the ground, that soil becomes moist, and then vegetation starts to regrow. So that's the Zuni bowl. There's also different log structures that are built kind of in a stair step type fashion. One rock dam is another one, which you have below your main structure, you have in, as a side note, the word dam kind of needs to be looked at objectively. It's not damming up water. Sometimes people will hear the names and say, well, they're damming up water. We still need to get permits through SEO, the state engineer's office, to do the work, but it's not actually permanently holding water. It's just holding long enough that some can be retained in the moisture profile. So anyway, the One Rock Dam, you have a structure at the head cut that again slows the water down, and then it hits a secondary structure that spreads water out. Again, the idea trying to increase soil moisture in those draws. So there's four to five different...
Yeah, kind of interesting.
Different kinds, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioners, any additional questions? We'll yield to the county attorney, who might be wearing his senator hat today.
Different hat, just for a second, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to let you and the public know that WWNRT committee will be meeting here July 29th and 30th. So I've actually got to get with Zach and work on a few of those details, but just so everybody knows, we'll be in town for that.
Yeah, it was a huge lift that committee and WWNRT as a whole did in Cheyenne, with a lot of help from some folks that we know pretty well around here. Statewide efforts look similar to what we're doing here. Our focus obviously is on the fire specifically, but a lot of other funding around the state is focused on invasive annual grass treatments as well. So it's good to see that there is the availability. Our hope, of course, is that through our hard work and successful projects, that legislature sees the importance of continuing to fund large-scale projects like this.
Yeah, piggybacking off on the discussion on large-scale projects, your office does a lot of work with the NRCS on whether it's pipelines, sprinklers, all sorts of treatments that are good for water conservation, good for natural resource conservation. Mm-hmm. As we're looking at the One Big Beautiful Bill, are you at all concerned about the conservation district's ability to partner with NRCS to address resource issues in the county and keep up with the workload that is created between, whether it's small water projects that you sponsor that go to Wyoming Water Development Commission, or projects that are larger that you send directly to NRCS that then get funded in their scope of work?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. We have a great relationship with our NRCS field office and Allison McKenzie here in Buffalo. There's always been a bit of a bottleneck in terms of staffing with them. They lack engineering, which is usually the bottleneck in any of the projects, especially the irrigation projects that we work with them on. They have since added an engineer. However, there's still, like field office specifically, lots of work that gets bogged down in that respect. Now with some of what's going on, it makes it difficult as well, with lack of staffing across the board, not just in engineering, but soil science, rangeland guys. Luckily, though, with the majority of the projects that we do through small water, through the Wyoming Water Development Commission and our small water projects, we have the capability of utilizing third-party engineering for those, so that part doesn't slow us down as much. Sometimes, and we haven't done we're looking to do a large-scale irrigation project with NRCS here shortly, where we're starting to work on that, as you know. So I think it's going to be one of those situations where I'm not going to be sure of how we may be affected or NRCS is affected until we start going down that path. Just kind of hard to know.
All right, Zach, thank you again for the update.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the work of the district.
Yeah, we're, like I said earlier, we're excited to have the opportunity. It's landscape scale efforts are a good way to showcase what Wyoming can do and how involved and caring and the landowners and the community are for projects like this. So it's, so far it's been good, and I'd be happy to continue to return to provide updates.
Okay. Thanks. Sticking in the water vein, I'd like to welcome up our Lake Smith Operations Director, Paul Marakis, to walk through the necessity for Resolution 746 that he worked with the county attorney on.
So, yes. Good morning, Paul. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Part of my new job is looking through all the historical documents and finding what I'm supposed to be doing. And one of those documents was a resolution creating the Lake Smith Operating Department. And reading through that, it was fairly dated. That resolution was back, Barry can correct me, at least 10 years ago, maybe
2013.
And so the vision at that time, it just didn't quite match up with what the reality is today. So Barry drafted a new resolution, and I'd be happy for him to take over and talk about some of those changes that he talked about.
Mr. Craig?
Mr. Chairman, so it's pretty simple. We just, really what we did amended what the sort of the duties and essentially Paul's job description is kind of set forth in the resolution. And originally when we did this, as you remember, we had a committee that met monthly. We don't do that anymore. Now you rely on a full-time employee, which at the time was not necessarily full-time way back when. And so now if we have a full-time employee that manages the department rather than having a quote-unquote committee. And so that's really what we did, is take out the management provisions regarding the committee, put those onto the employee for the department, the one employee, and sort of set forth those job descriptions within the resolution. That's it. Pretty simple. Modernize the resolution. That's all we did. Brought it to where we are today.
Also the value of you guys have deleted SASOL from reference, which the state purchased their rights, so that was no longer correct and relevant, so that'll correct that record that we work with the state of Wyoming now, not the South African Synfuel Company. So commissioners, before you, Resolution 746, resolution amending the structure and operation of the Lake Smith Operating Department and rescinding Resolution 467, whereas the Board of County Commissioners of Johnson County, Wyoming has previously acquired all the assets of Lake Smith County's coalition under an agreement with the Board of Commissioners of Sheridan County, Wyoming, and whereas the Board of County Commissioners of Johnson County, Wyoming determined it necessary to establish a separate operating department for the efficient administration, management, and operation of Lake Smith Reservoir and the assets acquired as a result of the dissolution of the Lake Smith County's coalition, and whereas the Board of County Commissioners of Johnson County, Wyoming adopted and approved Resolution 467 on January 8, 2013, to create the Lake Smith Operating Department, set forth the structure and operation, and whereas the structure and operation of the Lake Smith Operating Department has evolved over time, requiring a new resolution setting forth new structure and operation of the department, and whereas Resolution 467 required the Lake Smith Operating Department to consult with SASOL, Synfuels International, Poly Limited, SASOL, as owners of certain rights within Lake Smith, and whereas SASOL sold its rights in Lake Smith to the state of Wyoming, and the state of Wyoming should now be referenced in any resolution setting forth the structure and operation of Lake Smith Operating Department. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of County Commissioners of Johnson County, Wyoming, that Resolution 467 is hereby rescinded, and the structure and following of the Lake Smith Operating Department here in Operating Department shall be as follows. 1. The Operating Department shall be administered by a Johnson County employee or contract service individual hired by or contracted by the Board of County Commissioners. This position is responsible for the day-to-day operations of Lake Smith and will report directly to the Board of County Commissioners. 2. The Operating Department shall have a budget and shall operate under the same financial and fiscal procedures as applied to any department of the county. 3. The Operating Department shall manage, administer, and operate the Lake Smith Reservoir and their assets acquired as a result of the dissolution of the Lake Smith County's coalition under the supervision of the control of the Board of County Commissioners of Johnson County, Wyoming. 4. The Operating Department will consult and coordinate with the State of Wyoming regarding the water rights it acquired from SASOL in accordance with any agreements governing the relationship between Johnson County and the State of Wyoming regarding each party's respective rights and operation obligations in Lake Smith. 5. The Operating Department will attend all meetings of the Lake Smith Advisory Board and will serve as the liaison between the Lake Smith Advisory Board and the Board of County Commissioners. 6. The Operating Department will coordinate with the Board of Controls and irrigators to store and deliver water. 7, issues involving shoreline management will be determined by the Board of County Commissioners with consultation and advice of the Operating Department, Lake District Advisory Board, and the Johnson County Planning Department. Passed and approved by the Board of County Commissioners on this third day of June 2025. Commissioners.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move to approve resolution number 746.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
I have a question.
Is there a second?
Yes, I'll give you a second.
Okay, there's a second. Now we can move to discussion. Yes, sir.
It doesn't state anywhere in here what the percent of the state's rights are or ours.
That's by a separate agreement.
It is?
Okay. Yes.
Which we don't, is an old agreement, by the way. But that's in a separate document that has existed for a while. Okay. And this has nothing, this won't affect that whatsoever. This is just our resolution to set forth the operating department. It does not change our relationship with the state. And we have agreements with other entities out there as well. I mean, Paul could tell you, go into detail, but whether it's Lower Clear Creek or some of the surrounding ranches.
Bellis Ranch.
Bellis's, for example. Piney Creek Land Company. I mean, we have some other agreements out there that he has to administer. And those are not affected by this. Mr. Chairman, there is one typo in there, so
yes.
Before you sign it, I'll bring you a clean copy. I have one wrong letter. I'll bring it back this morning after our meeting.
Any additional discussion on Resolution 746? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Paul, do you want to just update us where you are on fill? Kind of thoughts on water sales this summer, anything as we go into busy time?
Sure. The Johnson County rights are all full right now. So the tunnel is closed. I closed the tunnel down on Friday, I believe, last week. The lighter ditch is still running. The Lower Clear Creek irrigation, people still have a little bit of water to put in, but not very much. We try to get to about 46.13 for an elevation. We're at about 46.12.8, maybe 9 right now. There's a lot of water ripping in there right now. So by the end of this week, for sure, there won't be any more water going into Lake DeSmet that will be full and ready to go for the summer. Water sales, we definitely have the Piney Creek Land Company people. We have more and more docks all the time. The boat that you guys generously provided for the department is going to be invaluable to go out and see what kind of docks we do have and document the docks. It's fun. Document those docks on what exists and then seeing what's coming in the future. I've had some people ask about commercial docks here in recent times, so it's just going to keep evolving. We're going to have to keep pivoting as it goes.
Questions on any parts of the operation of the lake? This is a great time if there's burning issue or anything you've heard about the fish. Or
Paul and I are going to get together here as soon as we can. And I'm going to take a tour with him and learn a lot, I think. So,
you want to come down the tunnel too, Mr. Shelley?
Probably. Not. How many residents are getting permits to draw out of there so far?
To draw out of the reservoir for irrigation?
Yeah.
So far, just one.
Just the one, okay.
Yeah, but I anticipate a few more. So that's something I'd like to bring to you guys next year as it comes, but we, as a county, charge them $15 an acre foot to do that. That seems fairly low, but something to discuss this winter time.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, guys.
All right. We don't want to disturb naps if we're...
Oh, he's out. We partied all night, so...
I hope you'd like to welcome our county health nurse, who has an update to the state of scope of work for the county health officer. So,
yes. So this is a contract for this next fiscal year for our county health officer. He gets paid $2,500 quarterly, and this is, it just outlines, there's no new deliverables or nothing new on the timeline of the statement of work, anything.
Mr. Crago, did you have a chance to review the updated scope of work?
Yeah, so I think the scope of work is the same that we've always had. Just looking through it, Kristen can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the deliverables for us are the same. It's just, it is a four-year contract.
Yep.
It's been through 2029, but other than that, it's the same thing we've been doing. But, yep.
Motion to approve.
There's a motion from Commissioner Shelley. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, even if Thomas the Tank might disagree.
All right, thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any other updates you'd like to provide at this point as you're through flu season, you're going in summer, car seats, bike helmets, anything that we should be aware of?
Just, we're doing a lot of, exactly what you said, a lot of education community events with sun safety, just all the summer safety things that we see kids doing. We interviewed for our new county nurse, and we're hoping to get her on board soon. We believe my budget hearing is next Monday, and we can talk about that more. But other than that, we are rolling as usual. Our other nurse was out on maternity leave, but she just got back this week, so we'll be ramping up and continuing on, still getting down to KC and doing all that. And, yeah. Any other questions?
Well, thanks for joining us, even with the monkey on your side. So.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Mr. Waller, I believe you have a minor subdivision to present.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I brought to your office just a quick cover letter, a map, copies of the findings and recommendations from the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then copies of all three reports for the sketch plan, preliminary review, and the final plat review. And the draft 11 by 17 of the CULP. Mr. Chairman, the Mylar is there, and it's pretty straightforward minor subdivision. This is off of Elsom Ranch Road, south of Buffalo. A couple of years ago, the landowner wanted to do a family exemption for one of their children. They couldn't do it. So they had to run through a minor subdivision. And on that map, that's this lot we had here. We dealt with a boundary line adjustment a few months back where they were amending the plat to follow the easement right away. Today, and we knew that at the time they had disclosed it, but this is the subdivision lot. It's the same exact acreage, 15.37 acres, I believe, yeah. Cut and dry. They were already advised there could be some issues with sandstone in the area. No comments came in from any of the adjacent landowners, and this property, the only restriction from a covenant restriction is how small they can go. They can't go any smaller than 10 acres. I have had people ask, you know, how far down can you subdivide to whatever the restriction is. The county regulations, just we govern how they subdivide and what's required. With a note, Josh and Mark were very good to work with as far as the consultant. The landowners live in Texas. Their sons, actually know their daughter Cheyenne and Seth, their son-in-law, live here. So they processed part of this application to come through to this point. as this moves forward, caution at the highway. As more people want to subdivide, that's where YDOT might look at traffic studies and the requirements of how minor subdivisions come into play. The county rules require us to look at it from a unit of land, how many divisions can come out of a sub, you know, an area before it's a major subdivision or a minor subdivision. So right now, these are the two lots that have been created. There's a note about YDOT allowing 10 residences off of a single access point before they would require that access point to be widened and possibly a turning lane evaluated through a traffic study. No guarantee, but that's, I think, the hinged part that we have to look at with subdivisions come up in the county, access roads, where they're located, and what's going on. So that's it in a nutshell. But Planning and Zoning has recommended to you guys final approval and recommendation of the HTZ Culp minor subdivision. In the reports, there's some notes about Culp number 2. That's this property. They clarified the name during the preliminary plat review process. Good questions?
I'd go ahead and make a move to approve the HTC Culp subdivision.
Second. There is a motion and second to approve the HT Culp minor subdivision. Any discussion or questions? There's no questions for the county planner or the county attorney. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Signatures, everything on the, as far as that, I'll let them know. We'll get it scanned and hopefully filed and recorded. I'll let Seth know. His family is up here to this week. That's why it's kind of, Planning and Zoning saw this a month ago. They came up from Texas to get it signed, so we'll move on as far as that. I want to make sure the commissioners know, last month Planning and Zoning had 4 subdivisions on their agenda that are moving through. One was one is the addition of 12 lots to the North Shore of the PUD out at Lake DeSmet, Dennis Lawrence's, and then the rest are all minor subdivisions, but we have to definitely follow what's going on and where people want to subdivide and just adhering to access. It's been good to coordinate with Scott at Road and Bridge, and then now with Paul. I think it's good. I filled him in on a lot of stuff about the lake and some development coming in, because it does, anything out there impacts his office directly, I feel. If it's any one of those subdivisions along the lakeshore. So, you guys have any questions?
Yeah, so, Mr. Weller, with the addition of 12 lots, is there any concern about egress to that area, the additional traffic that 12 additional homes may have on, whether they're going to go down Monument Road, Shell Creek Road? How are they going to access that subdivision?
All the 12 additional lots are going to come off of Monument Road and Shell Creek. In that south end. That's where they were proposed. As far as the initial part of that subdivision, all 60 lots were looked at. He only platted 47. So all the studies have been done for that 60 lot subdivision. We did go ahead and require Dennis to go ahead and notify the school district, all the utilities, to ensure that the 12 additional lots isn't going to change or affect something as far as access. I forwarded it over to Scott. It's the same. Our county road ends where our county road ends. It's going to disperse out. There's probably going to be landowners that cut up through the other access road on Monument as it continues up to Piney Creek. There is some gates through the whole thing, and my questions have been, do the emergency services all have access and can they get in there? So we've seen several address requests come up and some new houses, and I think it's just going to continue to keep moving as development, and people are interested in Lake DeSmet.
Jim, can you kind of give them the numbers that we talked about the other day on
potential for what's going to come out there?
Yeah. So on the North Shore, you know, you need to expect 60 houses in there. There's two today.
60?
Yeah. That subdivision initially was platted in 2006. The first house was built in 2007. The second house was built in 2011. The third house is like under construction and has been a continual construction project for the last couple of years. But there is going to be a fourth house probably later this year. So if you can kind of envision where Shell Creek Road is north, there's six large parcels in there that are 35 plus acres. So you'll see, you know, some houses along there. And then you get into the south end of what's the North Shore PUD, which could have 60. And then where the shores of Lake DeSmit is, and around Piney Creek Land Company is the one that did that development, there's 86 houses that are going to be right in there. And that's right along the Barkley Draw area. Directly along the lake, I think we have, you know, 20 plus houses that you're going to have along that shoreline. And then you get to Mike Selhoff's. There's a lot of houses still, because I don't think we have 25 in the shores of Lake DeSmit right now. So we're probably still two-thirds vacant.
Jim, are those folks on sewer and well? Is there one portion of that is on a common water system?
The shores at Lake DeSmit is on a common water system that's on, they bought the water rights to pull water out of a well that's connected to the lake, and then they treat that water for that entire subdivision. And then 25 lots, I think, along the shoreline connect to a central sewers that goes down to a series of tanks and a leach field that was permitted by DEQ. They have reporting and monitoring associated with both of those. Everything on the north end, those are all heavily restricted as far as the type of septic system. It's been kind of like a prefab design. They have to be a sand filter. So the rest of the large lots in like the shores of Lake DeSmit are going to be just, as long as the site conditions are adequate, regular, you know, normal leach field, septic tank and leach field. No water wells are allowed, though.
And on those septics, is there any sort of a setback from the lake? I guess my concern is protecting the environmental integrity of the lake and making sure that someone's leach field is not dumping directly into the lake, which could cause algae blooms and other...
The north end is pretty protected the way that the DEQ permitted those. So they have a horizontal setback plus a vertical setback. It's all scoria, so they have to have special filtering, dosing pressure. They're pretty pricey. Everything kind of down towards Barkley Lane, there's a ridge in there. Everything on the one side of the ridge is fill material, overlaying by the sedimentary layers above the coal, which the coal is kind of at the lake level. On the lake side, you can see where the scoria flakes up at one of the lots. So far what I've encountered is everything running down that area is fill material overlain by that sandstone and that scoria. But the problem we have is Johns County doesn't have land use regulations to control where people want to put houses, so we fall back to the minimum. We have to stay 50 feet back from the water no matter what. Best I can say is the flood elevation controls a lot of where that stuff is located. We definitely aren't going to let anything show up too close to the lake level, and it's going to have to be pushed to the west. All those 25 lots, as you come closer to Barkley Draw, are all in the central system. So, knock on wood right now, I think we're okay, but I wish we could have protected the lake a little better.
Questions, Mr. Waller?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah. I'll be in on my budget hearing next week.
All right. Commissioners, this is an item for discussion and more information. And Mr. Crego has the master packet, so if I have dates or questions, in the late 1970s, Johnson County entered into an agreement with the Bureau of Land Management to transfer over a piece of property under an act that they had where land could be acquired for recreational purposes. And so at that point, there was an outdoor gun range that was on some state ground that the desire was to get that off. And so in 1972, Johnson County received 129.5 acres of land from the BLM that then they entered into a lease agreement in the early 80s. I believe it was about 82. Is that right, Barry? According, since 1982, they've been in a lease agreement with the Buffalo Outdoor Shooting Club. So in May, I was contacted by the Buffalo Field Office of the BLM. They have not done any monitoring on that agreement in several years, and it's their desire to remove the reversion process in that initial transfer. And Mr. Craig, am I getting that all?
That's right.
Yeah. So that would basically that they would have had the ability to take that land back from Johnson County. And so as a condition of getting that reversion process out of the agreement, the Buffalo Outdoor Rifle Club is going to have to do some cleanup work on their property. There's pictures in there as well as a copy of the inspection report. You can see what the BLM was concerned about, some structures and then just general trash. I'd like, I guess, us to consider also, now would be a good time to update the lease with the Buffalo Outdoor Gun Club, since it has not been done since 82, and I believe the only individual living that is a signatory of that would be Mr. Dave Todd, who is retired from Sportsler and selling the keys, as is indicated in that initial agreement. Hope the commissioners will be of the liking, number one, to continue to have the lease with the Buffalo Outdoor Club if they are able to meet the terms that the BLM has laid out. And then if we could have the county attorney negotiate a new lease agreement with the Buffalo Outdoor Shooting Club.
So, Mr. Chairman, what exactly are your proposed terms for the new lease? I mean, the current lease is a 99-year lease, which, by the way, I've never laid eyes on it.
Neither had I.
So, I mean, I don't think, unless they've breached the terms of the lease, they're not necessarily under any obligation to renegotiate with us. But, I mean, they might be willing. I just don't know exactly what terms you're looking for.
Well, I guess, Barry, my concern is, number one, I don't know if they are aware of the terms spelled out in the lease. They do have liability insurance now, which when I visited with the current president of the gun club, because that was my concern, of course, as we learned after the Tannerite fire up there, at that point they did not have liability insurance. So I guess I'd like a little guidance from the county attorney if that's necessary, or if you're comfortable rolling with the 99-year lease in place.
Well, let me peruse it, take a little bit of time and read through it, and I can report back at our next meeting.
Wait,
if that's okay. And I'm happy to chat with, did you say Justin Ellers?
Justin Ellers is the current president of the gun club.
And I'm happy to talk with Justin as well, so.
And the folks at BLM have been great to work with. sounds like this file got archived, and they kind of...
Kind of like the 99-year lease.
Yeah.
Somewhere
so,
out there.
Anyway, but they did go out in, I believe, February, February 28th, and do their visual inspection, and that's what comes with that report. So.
Well, they're want to, BLM's want to turn that completely over to us?
Yes.
The county.
And I think in the 70s, these recreation leases were quite popular.
Yeah.
The city of Buffalo has one.
Yeah.
It covers the green space, so there's just a stipulation that we can't sell it, and it has to continue to be used for a recreational purpose.
I'm guessing they're tired of monitoring it and they want to take that job off of their to-do list every so often, is my guess.
Yeah.
I guess in the big sense of things, we're ultimately responsible right now for it, so
we
might as well own the property.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, would you rather wait and have the terminology done or go ahead and make a decision on this today?
Commissioner, I think let's follow the guidance of the county attorney and let him peruse the 99-year lease and see if any of the terms of it need to be updated, or if he feels that it is satisfactory that the county is indemnified from any liabilities that we need, that there are adequate provisions in there requiring them to maintain a safe and orderly facility that has liability insurance and
Mr. Chairman, have you talked to the club and made sure they know that they need to get this stuff cleaned up, or do we need to send a letter to them to that effect?
So, Mr. Grego, I did meet with Mr. Heller and the recreational specialist, Becky Ramirez, I believe, was also sending them a copy of the report and giving them basically get this remediated by, I think, about August was what... the discussion was, so they are aware that it is being looked at.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, and I guess I did skip over. We've got some malt beverage permits. The first is approval of a permit retroactively. This was for the Esponda wedding. It was held on 5/31, and they missed the date. This was Taylor's Invasion Bar, and this was at the fairgrounds. Fees were paid, and the permit was signed, so I'm asking permission to approve retroactively the malt beverage permit for the Esponda wedding. Excuse me, it was a catering permit on 5/31 at the fairgrounds.
Mr. Chairman, it does say the malt and spirits on there. That was catering.
Well, I'm going to the actual application. In the box that she checked, if you look at page 2, it says catering permit.
Okay.
So, and that was what's checked on the actual permit.
Motion to approve.
Okay. There is a motion to approve retroactively the catering permit for the Esponda wedding, 5/31 at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, now it looks before you. There is a request for malt beverages. This is from Bonds Brewing Co. This will be the Johnson County Fairgrounds for the Range War Rodeo on June 19th. Looks like they're asking for the same malt beverage permit, July 17th. Again, Buffalo Range Wars Rodeo, the Johnson County Fairgrounds, And then again, August 21st, Johnson County Fairgrounds Range Boar Rodeo. And that is also a malt beverage permit from Bonds Brewing. Madam Clerk, are all of their paperwork in order and their fees paid?
Yes,
Chairman. I'd go ahead and move that we approve the Bonds Brewing for June 19th, July 17th, and August 21st.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Looks like Buffalo Land and Property Co. LLC is requesting a catering permit for June 19th, July 17th, and August 21st for the Buffalo, the Range Wars Rodeo at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. Madam Clerk, are all these fees been paid and the paperwork in order?
Yes, sir.
I move to approve those also.
There's a motion and a second to approve Buffalo Land and Property Co.'s catering permits for the Buffalo Range War at the Johnson County Fair, June 19th, July 17th, and August 21st. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next we have Johnson County Wool Growers. This comes in from the Cowboy Barn Grill for the Wool Sheep Fest on the looks like the 11th of July at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. This is a catering permit. Madam Clerk, are all, and looks like also then for the 12th, are all paperwork in order and all fees paid for the 11th and 12th for Cowboy Bar and Grill for the Wyoming Sheep and Wool Festival.
Yes, sir.
All right. Make a motion to approve.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the two catering permits from Cowboys Invasion Bar for the fairgrounds for the Wool Festival. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, Taylor's Invasion Bar has the Foley Wedding, which will be at June 14th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds, and this is catering permit.
I move to approve Foley's wedding for Invasion Bar on June 14th.
There is a motion and a second to approve the catering permit for the Foley wedding at the Johnson County Fairgrounds by Taylor's Invasion Bar for the 14th of June. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Like Taylor's Invasion Bar is also getting in on the Range War Rodeo. They have requests for malt beverage only for June 19th, July 17th, and August 21st. Malt beverage only at the Johnson County Fairgrounds for the Range War. And Clerk, are all paperwork in order for this request?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Motion to approve.
All right, there is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final request from Taylor's Invasion Bar is for a catering permit for the Leiby wedding, which will be held at 384 Billy Creek Road on June 28th, 2025.
I move to approve that. The Leiby wedding.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And Madam Clerk, I'm assuming all the paperwork is in order. You indicated on there that it was taken by phone. Do we have fees? And
yes. The actual application is signed, but she'd had her fill out the wrong laptop copy, so I corrected it over the phone. But the application was signed by her. Okay.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. I believe that clears the desk of all catering permits. Plenty of folks
busy month
having food and beverage out at the Range War, so that's great. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business that needed to be transacted? Mr. Craigle?
No, sir.
Ms. Kenyon?
No, sir.
Okay. We resume budget hearings at 1 o'clock today, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. We have completed our agenda items. Commissioners, anything else?
Vouchers.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Any additional business that you have? Okay. Brings us time now to vouchers. Did any commissioner have questions on any of the vouchers that they'd like pulled for further discussion?
No.
Vouchers have been submitted in the amount of $368,751.78.
Motion to approve the vouchers for the said number.
There is a motion to approve the vouchers.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And we would remind all vendors, we are coming up on final bill pay for the fiscal year, which is scheduled for the 24th of June from 9 to noon. So if you wish to be paid in this fiscal year, you must remit those to the county clerk. Is there any public comment to bring before the county commission? Any public comment? Mr. Waller, what time is planning and zoning to start tonight? Do you have anything on your agenda?
We have one minor subdivision preliminary review. Bankstop is creating where the big boy, their big boat storage is. They're selling that to the lake stop. Bambi is, so it's got to be one lot subdivision. That's it. That's some preliminary numbers we're reviewing with the committee, just updating planning and zoning as far as the comprehensive plan update. Just on some numbers, figures as far as the demographics. Should be pretty quiet. I expect July and August to be a little bit busier due to the two major subdivisions in the works. Both involve water rights, and that action has to go through the state engineer's process. So it'll take a few months, and it is backlogged, but pretty straightforward, actually.
Any additional public comment? If there is no further public comment, then I'm going to go ahead and close the public comment.
Motion to adjourn.
I don't think so.
You don't have to second it. Second. All right, it has been moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry in Buffalo. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.